Did you ever hear the story of Chicken Little? You're probably not old enough. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. This little chicken was running around shouting, "The sky is falling." I want to tell you something, but it's not Chicken Little. God is going to judge all the inhabitants of the earth. He is going to pour out a cup of wine of his wrath. And he's going to pass it from nation to nation, even your nation. We'll talk about it today. In Jeremiah chapter 25, it sounds almost like Chicken Little, Chicken Little, because God has been saying right from the very beginning of Jeremiah, right from the beginning of his ministry, which was during the 13th year of Josiah, he's been saying, "I'm going to bring the kingdoms of the north against you. I'm going to bring the families of the north against you." Now in Jeremiah chapter 25, he is saying, "I am going to make you, Judah, and all the nations surrounding you, and all the kingdoms of the earth, I'm going to make them drink the cup of the wrath, the wine of my wrath. And my judgment is coming. It is coming, it is coming, it is coming. It came already. We're sitting on this side of history. And it came to Judah in 586 B.C. That city was decimated. You want to know how sad it was? You want to know how grievous it was? You want to understand the tears? You want to understand what it was like when the city looked at their dead strewn in the streets? When the priests and the elders were in such terrible, terrible condition? Read the book of Lamentations. It's five laments. It's five laments that are written down by Jeremiah after all this happens, because the sky, so to speak, does fall. The sky, the judgment from heaven, falls down to earth. Let's look at it. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15. "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, take this cup of the wine of my wrath from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it." If you are studying along with us, if you got your study guide, if you went to preceptsforlife.com, or if you picked up the phone and you called 1-800-763-1990 and you ordered your study guide, then you know that it is imperative for you in this chapter not only to mark every time it says, "But you did not listen," because you did not listen, but also to mark all the references to the kings of the earth, to the nations of the earth, to all the nations. And so here I told you I color them dark green and I put a brown underline underneath it. And then I mark every pronoun that goes with it. In the light of that, think with me as I read this. "They," verse 16, "will drink and stagger and go mad." They who? The nations. So you underline it that way. "Will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them." Remember what happened to our nation at 9/11, and remember the panic and the fear and the screaming and the running. That is nothing compared to what is coming. It says, "Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand." I took the cup from the Lord's hand. I wish I had a big old black ugly cup, or a huge, huge goblet that was dark. And so that this is the cup of the wine of God's wrath. And I made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it. Now, if you downloaded your study guide, you got a map. And when you read this passage, you need to look at all these places on the map. If we know where they are, we put them down. And so watch the countries, the nations that he says he's going to judge. He begins with Jerusalem. Judgment begins at the house of God. This is what 1 Peter tells us. It says, then Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and its kings and its princes, political rulers, shepherds of the people, and that's they're symbolized as shepherds, people that watch over, that take the flock here, that take the flock there. Those leaders are going to drink the cup of the wrath of God. They're going to drink it. Precious one, we see these leaders in Congress and in the Senate. We see the sin of their lives. We see the immorality. We see the perversion. We see the stealing. We see, you know, we see all these things. And in a sense, they seem to do it and get away with it. There is a day of judgment coming. And so he says to make them a ruin, a horror, a hissing and a curse as it is this day. When you read Lamentations, you see the hissing, you see the horror, you see the curse, you see Jerusalem saying there's no pain like my pain. And then he says, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants and his princes and all of his people. All that Egypt did to Jerusalem, all that Egypt did in turning their back on God. I mean, Egypt at one time knew there was a God. I mean, Pharaoh found out, and Egypt found out when God wiped out Pharaoh and all of his army, drowning them in the Red Sea when he took his people across on dry land. It says his servants, his princes, and all of his people. And all the foreign people, all the kings of the land of Uz. It says all the, and you see the land of Uz in the book of Job. You see it, it's just over to the east of the Jordan and all the foreign people, even all the kings of the land of the Philistines, even Ashkelon and Gazra and Ekron and the remnant of Ashdod. I mean, go over to the Gaza Strip. Those people are going to be judged. Edom, Moab, and the sons of Ammon. What is that? That's Transjordanians. That's Jordan over there. All the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon go north from Israel, up past Lebanon, and you're up in the area of Tyre and Sidon. He says, and the kings of the coastlands that are beyond the sea. In other words, maybe the king of Cyprus, which was known, had Kittim there, and all those little coastland islands. And then he says, and Dedan and Tema and Buzz and all those who cut the corner of their hair. So look at those places on the map and all the kings of Arabia. When we go to Israel and we take teaching tours, we have, you can take an extra tour. You can put on an extra journey, and we go down to Eilat. We stay on the Red Sea, and there on the Red Sea, we can see Egypt. We can see Arabia. We can see Jordan as we stay in Israel. It says, and all the kings of the foreign people who dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and the kings of Media, and the kings of the north, near and far, one with another. And then you want to make sure you underline it. And all the kingdoms of the earth, which are upon the face of the ground. Now listen, this is why what I'm about to show you is so important. that you learn how to discover truth for yourself, that you learn the inductive method of study that begins with observation. You observe, you observe, you observe, you see, what does it say? What does it say? What does it say? And then you discover, what does it mean? And then you learn, okay, I am to take that observation, that interpretation, and now I am to apply it. I am to order my life according to the Word of God. I'm to change my thinking if my thinking needs changing. And I am to change my direction, my behavior, if I need to change it to conform to the Word of God. And he says, all the kings of the earth which are upon the ground and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Now watch that word after. What is Shishak or Sheshak? How do you pronounce that? I don't know. But they believe it is a, they really don't honestly know. But they believe that it is a cryptic code where they take the letters of the alphabet in Hebrew and they reverse them. They take the last letters and put them where the first, etc. And it comes out spelling Babylon, or the consonants for Babylon. And so what he's saying is this: after I deal with all the kingdoms of the earth, I'm going to deal with Sheshek or Shishak. I'm going to deal with Babylon. Now, you know that I'm famous for timelines. You know that I'm always having you, and I want you to do this again. I'm always having you draw a straight line across a page. And at the end of that straight line, what I do is I draw a throne. And on that throne, I put a red cross. And I put the red cross there on the throne. I put the red cross there on the throne to represent Jesus Christ, to represent the time when he becomes the king of all the earth. This is something that is laid out for us in a contemporary, by a contemporary of Jeremiah, and that is Daniel. Daniel tells us of all the times of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles are the major powers in the earth, but he lets us know there is a time coming when all the kingdoms will be destroyed. Before Jesus Christ comes, before he sets up his kingdom, what you have when he gets ready to come and sets up his kingdom is you have the destruction of Babylon. You have the destruction of Shishak, and you have it after these things. We'll look at it in just a minute.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
We'll be right back.
Oh, how I love teaching you the Word of God. How I thank you for wanting to know it. How I thank you for putting yourself into it. Aren't you excited about it? Aren't you just absolutely awed that God would lay down these things for us so that we aren't in the dark, so that we know what's going to come to pass? Doesn't it blow your mind that Jeremiah chapter 25 takes you from the year of Jehoiakim, way back, about 605 BC, and takes you all the way to the end of time? So that drawing, that famous line that we have up here, let's go over here to 605 BC, and it is just before Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes Daniel captive and some others and takes them to Babylon. And what I want you to see is he is going to teach right now about the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem, which will not happen in 605 BC, which will not happen in 597 BC, when 10,000 are taken captive, but which will happen in 586 BC. So he's going to take you. This is when Jerusalem is destroyed. This is when not a stone is left on another. This is when the temple is decimated, desecrated, and demolished. He takes you from there. Now listen, all the way to the end of time. He takes you to just before, and I put a perpendicular line there with my line, just before Jesus Christ mounts his throne and rules over all the kingdoms of the earth. He's taking us that far, and he's showing us the destruction of Babylon after he deals with all the inhabitants of the earth. Well, I could teach you a lot about that, but that's not our purpose right now. So let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 25 and let's pick up where I left off. All right. It says, all the kingdoms are on the face of the earth, on the face of the ground, verse 26, and the king of Shishak shall drink it after them. So he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and then he's taking you all the way in time to a time yet future. And it's when the sky falls. So Chicken Little was right. Not in the story. And I wonder if that was, a spoof, because many of those stories were against what was going on politically or even possibly against Christians. I don't know. But listen to verse 27. And as I say that, just know this, that all those that mock the coming of the Lord, that become scoffers and say, as 2 Peter says, where is his coming? You've been talking about it since the foundation of the world and nothing's ever changed. Just know that it is coming. It is as sure as God, and God watches over his word to perform it. Verse 27, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, vomit, fall, and rise no more because of the sword that I will send among you. Now, if you're following and marking these pronouns, you know that those pronouns go to all the inhabitants of the earth. And it will be, if they, the inhabitants of the earth, refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink it, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall surely drink. You shall surely drink. You don't want to take it. You say, no, I don't want to have nothing of it. You have no choice. God is God. You shall drink. For behold, I am beginning to work calamity. Now, whenever I see the word calamity, I always mark it. I mark it in the same way. I put a black circle around it, and then I color the inside red, because that calamity is the fire of God, the judgment of God, the wrath of God that comes. And he tells us in Amos that a calamity doesn't happen in the city, but what God tells his prophets beforehand. So he's been telling us all of this through the prophets. And he says, "For behold, I'm beginning to work calamity in this city, which is called by my name. And shall you be completely free from punishment? You will not be free from punishment, for I am summoning a sword," and I take a red line and just put it through the word sword in my Bible, "against all the inhabitants of the earth." Do you realize what he's doing here? Do you realize this is fantastic? This is just one of the most awesome chapters. He's taking us from the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem that's going to begin in probably that very year, 605 BC, be totally wiped out in 586 BC, and then he's going to take us all the way to the end of time. You and I know what's going to come on the face of this earth. He says, "Therefore, you shall prophesy," verse 30, "you shall prophesy against them all these words, and you shall say to them." Them has to be marked the same way you mark all the inhabitants of the earth. "The Lord will roar from on high." This is the way we opened up this week's study. "And utter his voice from his holy mountain. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will shout like those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth." Now, when they would tread the grapes, they would get a hold of a rope and they'd get in this pit and they'd begin to tread those grapes and they would be shouting and rejoicing. But this is a shout. This is noise, 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 because he's treading the grapes. And this is what you see when you go to Revelation chapter 14. I mean, we go all the way to the very last book of the Bible, beloved. And when we get there, this is what it says. "And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he had a sharp sickle. And then another angel who has power over the fire came from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the earth from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vines of the earth and threw them into the winepress," listen, "of the wrath of God. They have taken the cup of the wine of his wrath." And he's saying, "Gather the harvest and throw them in to the winepress." And the winepress was trodden out inside the city. What city? Jerusalem. It was trodden outside of the city, and blood came up out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Do you know what that distance is? That distance is from Megiddo, where all the armies of the earth are going to be gathered against Jerusalem. It's from Megiddo right on down past the Kidron Valley, through the Kidron Valley that runs in front of the Temple Mount all the way down to Edom. And Isaiah 63 says, "Who is this that is coming with from Edom? And why are your garments stained?" And he says, "Because I've been trampling out the wine of the wrath of God." Beloved, listen to me. It is coming. This is not Chicken Little. This is God Almighty speaking, and we better pay attention, and we better sound the alarm. You have a call today to warn people to flee from the wrath that is to come, to flee into the arms of Jesus, who was crucified for you, that you might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Oh, beloved, it's that time. That time to take what we've learned and say, okay, I've learned it. I've got it here in my head. I'm understanding it. I'm getting the interpretation. I know what it means. Now, what am I to do with it? You are to take the message. Now, I know I told you that yesterday, but you are to take the message. But you've got to understand the message. You've got to let them know what God says. When I deal with people, this is what I will do. If I'm witnessing on a plane or I 99% of the time, I have my Bible with me. And if I don't have my Bible with me, I mean this big Bible, then I have a small Bible with me. When you are sharing with people, people today are full of anxiety. It's an uncertain future for the United States of America. As a matter of fact, it looks like there's no future for America. It looks like God's hand of judgment is upon us. But people need to understand that, and they need to flee from the wrath that is to come. They need to flee to Jesus. And so the best thing you can do is you can take them to the Word of God. And I'll just say, look, do you mind reading these verses? Because if you read them to them, then their mind can wander. But if they read it, for instance, if they read this, a clamor has come to the end of the earth because the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He's entering into judgment with all flesh. They're going to read that. They're going to focus on that. They're going to hear their own voice saying that. And when they do, listen, it goes deeper inside. It penetrates. And then God will bring it back. So my precept for life today is get others to read the Word, to read it out loud, and discuss it with them. We need to. His judgment is coming.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.